Clinton, our favorite political humorist, is here to give us her annual reflection on what our LGBT community accomplished in 2014 and chat about what 2015 will bring our LGBT community. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. I'm in complete shock that it's almost the end of the year. How did that happen?
This has definitely been another year for marriage equality. What was your reaction to the majority of the states now having gay and lesbian marriage?
It's so amazing to me that the good news in a just terrible news year is that from the LGBT community and from the Pope, I mean, that's astounding, you know, that we would be looking for good news from those two communities, from the gay community certainly, but also good news out of the Vatican. So that's been a head turner. In a lot of ways, I feel almost like Sally Field when she did that wonderful Oscar speech. It was like, you like me, you like me. You really, really like me. I mean, states getting marriage equality, possibly in Florida, in Idaho, in Utah, I never, ever thought it would happen. And I was saying in my show over the summer, I was saying, and, you know, and I do think in my lifetime that we will get a federal marriage equality bill. And, of course, there was always someone in the back of the room yelling, how old are you?
What would you like to see happen for LGBT civil rights in 2015?
Well, I think our big challenge in 2015 is going to be the kind of slimy interpretations of the horrible Hobby Lobby case, that right to refuse, and based on your religious convictions. And it's bigger than, you know, a company that does flowers saying, no, we're not going to do the flowers for that gay wedding. But I do think there's going to be a lot of pushback and not that kind of full frontal assault on marriage equality, but more of just, a kind of chipping away LGBT rights.
Do you think that it's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court again in the beginning of 2015, and will that finally give us the federal rights?
I do. I do think it's moving. I think that Evan Wolfson, the intrepid Evan Wolfson, and, you know, the right to marry has really had a plan that they've been following, and I do think their absolute goal is to get a decision about federal equality, marriage equality, at the Supreme Court, so I wouldn't be surprised.
And what do you think with ENDA, with the Republican-dominated Senate now?
I think there's been a lot of work done through organizations like Out and Equal that have really been working with corporations and their memberships and their employee relations group to really talk about discrimination in the workplace. And I think it's been very much under the radar. They've been doing amazing work with corporations who are not only here but internationally. And I do think that the notion that it's just good business, that ENDA is just good business, might sway, if there are any moderate corporate business types in the Republican Party, I do think that it has a possibility. I mean, we can't do it without trans rights. And, you know, there are various organizations that have just said, no, there's too many loopholes, we're not going to do it. Many organizations have said enough. I mean, this was a law that started with Bella Abzug in the 70s, and it's had a lot of basic human rights, and then it got, you know, kind of narrowed down to corporations and businesses and working rights. So it's been very, very narrowed down, but I don't think that major organizations will push it if it doesn't have trans rights in it.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights these days?
I've always been very supportive and excited about lots of groups. I'm really heavily supporting the National Center for Lesbian Rights. I think they're doing amazing work. They're out of San Francisco, NCLR. And I'm also very involved in supporting LPAC, which is the Lesbian Political Action Committee. And I know there's lots of reactions about, oh, I hate political action committees, but I don't think that we need to cede the territory. I think that we need to do the same thing. And so this is a probably 3 years old, 2.5 years old group that has raised lots of money and initially supported Tammy Baldwin and supported candidates who are running queer pro-choice issues, and also through the lens of anti-poverty and civil rights. I absolutely support them. I think they're doing great work, and, you know, I think the idea is to put our issues on the table. I don't think we've been represented in too many times, you know, you're in a room and you're the only lesbian in the room. So I think it's still great for people to have to say lesbian. I'm not over that yet. And so I'm supporting them. And then, you know, you just do your support. I have a skill set of being able to run a dinner or a conference. And so that's what I do for organizations. I think that's really important. You know, here we are, year-end giving. I think that really the numbers of LGBT people who actually give money to LGBT organizations is in, like, the teens, if that. And so I think, you know, whatever you can, pick an organization and send them money. Everybody needs it. And if you can't do that, you can always do, you know, go down, see what they're doing, and be there if there's still, I don't know if they still do it, but, you know, envelope licking nights.
Though we're making strides in America with LGBT equality, there are still 79 countries where being LGBT is illegal. What's your spin on that?
Well, I think that there is a growing awareness as we do get this project of marriage equality, you know, more than halfway there. I think it's wonderful that people are sort of looking up and seeing that we are part of a global LGBT movement. And there are many organizations, for example, as I spoke earlier, Out and Equal, that is working with corporations and employment resources groups to work on LGBT rights in the workplace. And that kind of thing is spilling over. So I think into different countries where the corporations are, and that's incredibly important. And I think that it's important we identify groups that are working in Russia, for example, in India. But I think that we have to be very careful that we give our support not in a way that, you know, like, here I come to save the day, but more in identifying people in those communities that are doing that work, finding out what they need, and, you know, whether it's material support, monetary support, that we do it that way and not just kind of blow in like, oh, we know what you people need, here's how we did it in the States. I think that is counterproductive.
We always talk about LGBTQ teens who are four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers and who continually have been taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I've always had the advice to kids that they're not alone, but good God, I mean, I think it's time we give advice to their peers, you know, that it's important to support and intervene in situations that, you know, that horrible, kind of creepy, if you see something, say something. If you see someone in a school, a friend, or not even a friend, getting bullied, then step in and say something. I think the other place where advice needs to be given, and by the way, incredible work has been really accomplished through GLSEN and many, many organizations about bullying, but, you know, I just think we need to get involved. As a former teacher, I just want to shake teachers sometimes and say, what? You know, if you can see this happening, you have to say something. And there are wonderful GSA groups that are springing up in middle schools and grammar schools, but, you know, there's still work to be done. And my advice now is to people who are in a position to do an intervention to speak out. You can say to a kid, you're not alone, but if they're so depressed and so terrified, even going to school, but the real help has to be to a more systemic look at anti-bullying. And I do think it's happening. It's not as the silent thing as it was before, but, you know, I think the advice has to, and support has to go to groups that are working on it.
How can people get information about where you'll be appearing?
They can go to my crazy website, kateclinton.com, and it has all the information about where I'm going to be performing, and I do a video blog every week where that is. It goes up on YouTube, it's on the website, it's so multi-formatted. I'm in places perhaps that I never should go, but they can get all the information on my website, kateclinton.com.
What projects are you working on now?
Well, I'm always working on my lifelong project of learning Spanish, and I'm also working on my pigeon pose, of course, and I'm working out in the shed. People don't know that I'm an inventor, but I am working on a font for sarcasm. I think that would be awesome, because a lot of times you say to somebody, great job, but you don't really mean it. I think it's important to have that sarcasm duly noted in a helpful font, but mostly I'm working on putting together a fourth collection of my essays. So that's what I'm working on now, and always, you know, reading and paying attention and writing new material. You know, as bad as the news is, I always say it's bad for us, but it's great for me.
Tell us about your tour for 2015.
Well, the tour for 2015 is, I can't even believe it's 15, but my new tour is called Hello Katie, a one-woman Pussy Riot. It just combines so much, and it's a great little logo. So I'll be touring all over, and I just think that now more than ever, and I've said that phrase forever, it's really important for us to get together and laugh, because we're all going through it, and I think it's just a great opportunity for people to get together and have a little release. I think it's great to come together and have that moment. So I'll be touring a lot.
How will you be spending your holidays this year?
My big favorite holiday of the whole year is solstice, when we turn from darkening days of like sun setting at 3 or just beginning to get really dark at about 11. It seems like we'll be getting together with a bunch of friends. It's the longest night, so you just have to give it your all. And then on New Year's Eve, we always have a beach fire in Provincetown, and people sort of write down what they want to get rid of from the old year and toss them in the flames, and on we go. So we'll be doing that, which is always fun, except on windy years when people have thrown their little balls of paper into the fire and they've taken off down the beach. I can still remember a friend of mine running down the beach screaming, "My arrogance!" and then tackling it and then bringing it back into the fire. But, you know, mostly to me the holidays is about getting together.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
One time my dear sister told me that she went to pick up her son, my nephew, who was playing trombone at the time, and his group from high school was entertaining at a senior citizen's home, so at the Christmas time, so she went to pick him up, and she got there a little early, and the concert was still going on, and she said she went in, and all of the old people were singing along, but they were singing, "Let it go, let it go, let it go," and I would say that that is pretty much my mantra. I mean, you have to do the hard work, you can't stop doing the hard work, and then you just have to let go of the results. So that's my mantra this year, let it go.